Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome along to Tas Racing Talk. Today on the show we'll catch up with legendary greyhound trainer Ted Medhurst, who's got Buckle Up Wears going around in the Group 1 final at Albion Park on Thursday night. Another chance for the Australian Cup winner to add some more dollars into the back pockets of connections. We'll also catch up with Simon Stout, Kevin Nielsen, Jamie Cockshutt, Greg Fay and Rick Puccinelli. So a big program lined up for us today. Just a reminder of the Ultimate Punters Experience Quiz. We'll be asking you a question through the show, and you'll need to fire in an answer on the tasracing.com.au website. Just follow the links there and you'll be able to enter the quiz. You can win airfares, accommodation, car hire, meals at meetings around the state. It's a great prize, and we'll have the question for you coming up a little later in the show.
They're racing
now on Tas Racing Talk. Time to talk thoroughbreds.
Co-development manager of Tasmanian Thoroughbred Racing, Simon Stout, joins us today on Tas Racing Talk. How are you, Simon?
Good, Shane. Great to be back with you again.
Now, off in Melbourne at the moment, discussing the future of Tasmanian racing.
Yeah, we're just over here with the handicapping department of RV, getting organised for the summer carnival. And looking to try and get all that programming information out to the trainers and owners to see our better horses back ready to fire over the summer months.
Okay, well, that's great news, and looking forward to all the information coming out of those meetings. Now, let's start with a recap of last week's meetings in Hobart, particularly with the Stride Master and also the video replays.
Yeah, well, one highlight that's been a prominent of recent weeks is the strength of the two-year-old maidens. And again, we saw Midnight Tears, who we mentioned out of the video replays last week. She performed exceptionally well to win her maiden. And in comparison to the open maiden on the same program, this race ran faster time than her stablemate, Solandro. Four runners in this race broke 38 seconds for their last 600, and that was Midnight Tears, GG's Bright Star, and Just Run and GG's Classic Boy. In comparison, Rest Upon in the open maiden was the only horse to break 38. So I think if you're looking to see how these two-year-old maiden horses are going to measure up in the open company maidens, I think they're going to measure up quite well. Just based on times alone, they're showing that they're more than capable of measuring up and winning these maidens. And we'll look to highlight one later on in the program when we get to Devonport this week.
And Tuesday night, Delight showed up in the video replays.
She did. She was unlucky behind Spyware's Prado. She didn't quite get the run when she needed it at the top of the straight. She finished off very strongly late in the piece, but must be said, it was a fair effort from Spyware's Prado, first up since an unplaced run in the Longford Cup, and also of note there was a horse resuming was Mr. Fashion, who we hadn't seen since the 2012 Newmarket Handicap, so he was just shy of 2 years off the scene, and he was produced by Leon Lasky and ran a very creditable race to run third in that open handicap. So I think those two over the winter months will be finding their mark fairly well, and a mare in form is Tuesday Night Delight, so she can definitely be followed.
Well, Stride Master and video replays, two options that are available on the tasracing.com.au website, throwing up plenty of winners. And we've got a big card coming up at Devonport on Sunday with 9 races there. Anything standing out at this stage?
As I mentioned, the two-year-old form, both with Valiant Warrior the other week and there with Midnight Tears last week. And behind Valiant Warrior at Devonport was Miss May Ho. She goes around in the first race at Devonport on Sunday. She's a two-year-old filly trained by Leon Wells, and she'll be ridden by Chantel Willis. So she's going to get in with 52 kilos in this race. And her sectionals were very solid behind Valiant Warrior, even though she was fairly soundly beaten and would have seen her very competitive in the Open Maiden on that program. So I think she, down the bottom with no weight, she's going to be one that could show up at a reasonable price.
And Genuine Lad, impressive last time out?
He is. Now the track record holder over 1880, and he steps into benchmark 68. He's ended up with top weight here of 58 kilos, so I think he's going to find this quite a lot tougher than last time around, particularly with the likes of Chimed In, who's racing in great form, a terrific win the other week at Launceston. So it might be a bit of a watch here, you know, up in class and definitely up in weight. So, but based on times, he's the horse to beat there.
And Private Currency, a runaway winner last time out at the track.
He is. He goes into probably the hardest race on the day. As you say, we highlighted him. You know, his sectionals in winning his maiden were exceptional here about 4 weeks ago. He had a mishap on the way to the races last Devonport program and was a late scratching. But he found a very tough class one here. And in trying to sort through them, even the fast finisher report couldn't separate five of them. So, you know, you've got a little bit of Dutch, Getaway Gold, Aventador and Lake Fergus, as well as Private Currency. So I'd be fairly wary of the betting market here. But from barrier four, he's going to have his work cut out beating these. But if he can, I think he's a horse with a very, very solid future.
And Deceitful Cove, another one with a good chance in race seven.
Yeah, I think she's probably the each way bet of the day based off the Stride Master data. She broke 36 at her last run here and actually was one of the few horses on the program to break 47 for her last half mile. So that's very solid form. She steps into a competitive class two over 1350 and she's drawn to get back. She's drawn outside, but that'll suit her. As long as there's good even tempo up front, she'll be hitting the line very well.
Well, we've covered a couple in the quaddie. Anything in race number eight that stands out?
Well, we mentioned Moonless the other week. He resumed, he's our Hobart Guineas winner, who resumed with a very solid run at Launceston. And he gets into the open handicap here on the minimum with 54. The speed map says that Makes Sense should get a fairly soft time of it in front, but I wouldn't be surprised to see JB's GG slide forward and Hellstrong. He doesn't mind being too far off them also. So if Moonless can get the right run in transit, he has shown form here at Devonport. He was placed in a maiden class run prior to his win in the Hobart Guinea. So I think down in the weights, he's definitely one to have in the quaddie.
There's been a little bit of work done on the track at Devonport with the busy winter period coming up.
Yeah, we were fortunate enough to have a couple of the main supervisors from the Tapeta Group come out and assist with overseeing that. It's had a renovation in preparation for the winter months, and oil reports from the trials yesterday was in particularly good order. So we're very pleased with how that's gone, and look forward to our racing here in July and then throughout August, where we'll have our inaugural Tapeta series, which involves a couple of races for the open sprinters and a couple of races for the open distance horses.
And a new appointment for the Tasmanian Turf Club.
Yes, the Tasmanian Turf Club have appointed prominent owner Bruno Calabro as their new chief executive officer. And Bruno's hit the ground running with a media release to us all that Chris Waller and Star Thoroughbred's Denise Martin will be coming down for an evening at the TTC later this month, the 24th of July, which should be a terrific evening. Certainly Chris's story and his rise to prominence is exceptionally well known, but it'll be great to hear it firsthand, and also to the new association that Chris and Denise have struck up with Star Thoroughbreds and the exciting times they've got ahead.
Well, it certainly sounds like a great night, and be on the lookout for tickets for that night with Chris Waller and Denise Martin. Thanks for your time again today, Simon.
Pleasure, Shane.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
9 races on the card coming up at Peter Park at Devonport on Sunday. The first is the Maiden Plate, Division 1 over 1150. Looking at some of the leading chances, Sid the Sloth from the Adam Trinder stable. Placed second at its last start on the track, Brendan McCool stays on. Finished a good second behind the stablemate, Lake Fergus, was only beaten a half head, was sent out the favourite, so wasn't too far away. Flying Stevie for John Blacker ran third at its last start over 1,200 in Launceston on a slow seven. It's beaten less than two lengths when sent out Popular Pick. And number 11, Miss Mayho, two starts for a third behind Don't We Love It on the track back in December. And then first up ran seventh behind Valiant Warrior, but it wasn't too far away. Keep a watch on it. So the chances in the first 3, 2 and 11. Race number 2 on the card, tipping here number 3. Silver Birdini. Now, it's having its first start. Should be one to keep an eye on. It's from the Mark Ganderton stable. Daniel Ganderton's taking the ride. Consecutive trial wins in June, and looks the top chance here. I think first up, it'll be very hard to beat. Beat the Real Deal by a length at its most recent outing. Little May, number 6, placed 4 of 11. Ran third to Manchero, two starts back, and then third behind Lake Fergus and Sid the Sloth. We could get a good guide from Sid the Sloth in the first. Bullet Muku to ride from barrier number 6. And number 11, Gwen Ray for Barry Campbell. Ismail Toker on top. Trialled okay, then came out and ran fifth behind Valiant Warrior. A likely improver on that first up run. That's in the second race for the 2-year-old and up Maiden Plate, Division 2. Race number 3 on the card, Tennessee Drive for Troy Blacker, another first starter, a Longford trial winner. It beat Lavella and So Much Fun. It's a Mr. Innocent Invermay Girl runner having its first start and could be one to keep an eye on, number 3. Azarum, a Devonport Cup winning trainer, Shirley Berger, has this one at Ren 4th behind a Little Bit Dutch at Devonport at its only run. So number 1 could be one to watch out for. And number 12, GG's Baritone, was a trial winner back on the 20th of May. And then it ran third behind Valiant Warrior on debut for Leon Wells and Bullet Muku. So it shouldn't be too far away, number 12, GG's Baritone, in race number 3 over the 900-metre journey. Then we come to race number 4, and Genuine Lad, who's the new track record holder over the 1,880 metres. It goes around again over the same journey. So obviously looks very hard to beat here for Bill Ryan and Brendan McCool. It beat Letters by a half length last time out. Number 4, Chime Den, has won 2 of its last 3 over 1,400 and 1,600, stepping up to the 1,880. Both those wins were in Launceston. Its last run on the track, it ran 4th behind Super Broadband. And number 3, Settler's Joy for John Blacker, ran 4th to Blacko. Might give you a sight at big odds, but maybe 1-4-3 in race number 4. In race 5 on the card, well, we've got Letters going around here, number 12. And it ran a good race last time out behind Genuine Lad. And if it runs up to that form, it's only beaten a half length in record time. Disappointed at its next start, but the Adam Trinder camp and Brendan McCool, with Brendan staying with number 12 Letters, might be the way to go here, race 5, number 12. The stablemate Elsman ran 3rd of 9 behind the Devonport Cup winner Red Eagle and Landstar. They've both been in good form. That was back on the 5th of May. And the top weight, number 1, and that is Baumgartner for David and Scott Brunton, ran 2nd in a trial to this moment last week. Was a Launceston winner back in April. And then it came out and ran 4th behind Left Ear at its last start. So 12-4-1 the chances in race number 5. In race number 6, well, Lake Fergus, very impressive performance to win last time. Really hit the line hard for Adam Trinder. Kim Moore takes the ride. It beat Sid the Sloth. Four Private Currency was an 8-length runaway winner for Angela Brakey. And 7 Getaway Gold is the stable mate. It'll get home strongly. And 5 Triple B ran 2nd to our mate Alvin last time out. So 6-4-7-3 in race number 6 on the card. They look to be some of the leading hopes there, although it is a very open affair, as we heard from Simon Stout a little earlier. It's a great race, race number 6. Plenty of value there if you can find the winner. In race number 7 over the 1350, well, Our Casanova's knocking on the door for John Blacker. It's been placed at its last two behind Sound Bar and also Blacko, and deserves to win. Savoir Step ran 2nd to Super Broadband last time out, number 2. And number 3, Finesto, as the third pick. It's been placed at its last 3 behind Lazy Democracy, Fuming, and also Van Diemen's Fire. So with the handicapper there, 1-2-3 in race number 7. JBG in race number 8, the top weight here for Stuart Yandy and Brendan McCool. 3 starts for 3 seconds, last 3 runs. ran third to Aranzano, and then third again behind Pengala's GG. Three starts on the track for 3 seconds, JBG. And on that type of form, shouldn't be far away. Unoaked looks very promising. It ran fourth behind Willow the Wisp, beaten a length and a half last time out. It's won 7 of 34 Bullet Muku to ride. And then we've got 7 Willow the Wisp. It was a winner over Royal Maswaki by a length last time out. But JB's GG for Stuart Gandy to win race number 8 on the program. And then in race number 9, we're going here with Gypsy Air. Now, it goes well on the track. It was a trial winner on the 1st of July. Ran second behind Bundelina at its most recent outing. It won 2 races back in March and April, and with early toes should be able to be right in the firing line here in the last. Soundbar going well, shooting for a winning hat-trick, and Esprit, 1 win and 4 placings from its last 5 starts. But a host of chances on the program. You should get plenty of value at Devonport on Sunday with 9 races.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk with Shane Yates.
They're set. Away they go.
Now on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Co-development manager for Harness Racing Tasmania joins us on Taz Racing Talk, Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
I'm very well, thank you, Shane.
Well, it's been another top week for Tasmanian harness racing on the mainland.
A really busy week again. It kicked off last Friday night at Melton when Barinya won her semi-final of the Vic Red Super Series. Didn't go as quick as the other semi-final winner, but it looked to be an ideal lead-in to the big one on Saturday night in that she led, did it comfortably, won with authority. So a great lead-in to Saturday night for Brynja with a win last Friday night. Josh Duggan, we gave Josh a mention last week, well, he deserves another one. Double at Bendigo on Tuesday night last night, and he's had a really good time over in Victoria, Josh, and continues to get winners. And we mentioned Birdie Mac. Now, that's the Mac 3 out of Pixel Perfect and the quick go on Pixel Perfect. She was a top seller at the 2008 Tasmanian Yearling Sale, straight to stud. And her second horse, Birdie Mac, now won 2 from 2, and both have been at Menangle.
What have we got forward to look to this week?
Plenty, Shane, plenty. Saturday night at Albion Park, a little bit of chicken fried. And we keep mentioning him, but there's a very good reason for that this week in that he's a half-brother to the Roberts Equine Supplies Globe Derby winner Chopsticks Boris. And I know the mare, Flo Jo Fernandez, who herself was a bandbox winner, has produced 4 from 4. Hillbilly Deluxe, Thirsty Mac, Little Bit of Chicken Fried, and Chopsticks Boris, all winners. As I said, Flo Jo Fernandez won a bandbox. Thirsty Mac won a Raider Stakes, and now Chopsticks Boris has won the Globe Derby. So a top family, a Little Bit of Chicken Fried goes around again at Albion Park on Saturday night, along with another Tasmanian, Coralta Wizard. He's had a lot of starts up there and goes around again on Saturday night. Menangle, race 4. It's a mare's race, M1 to M3 mares. Tasmania's got 2 of the 9 starters in Delightful Christian and Later On. Delightful Christian out in 7, Later On out in Barrier 9. Later On gets into the race as an M4 with a JD claim. And the build-up continues to Melton on Saturday night. Nola Mayhem, race 5, the 4-year-old mare, Vic Red Super Series final, 110 grand. She's drawn barrier 4 and the emergency's in barrier 3. So she's got a handy draw to try and get into a placing in that major race. And the one we've all been waiting for, Barinya, race 6, number 9. It's the Bowtied trailing draw. Of course, Bowtied came from the second line, 2 on the second line, to win the Inter-Dominion. And Barinya's got the same task on Saturday night in the 3-year-old Phillies Vic Red Super Size Final. As I said, race 6, number 9. I'm sure all Tasmanian ears and eyes will be on that race.
And speaking of ears and eyes, there'll be a couple of Tasmanian breeders who'll be keeping a close eye on what's happening on the mainland this weekend.
Well, the big ticket items are Bowtied and Barinya, but there's been some other Tasmanian breeders who've been accessing the best mares in Australia. And Lee Rand at Railton bought the mother of Van Sumik about 12 months ago. Now, Van Sumik won the best mare's race in Australia on Inter-Dominion final day this year, the $200,000 leadership mile. And Van Sumik goes round in race 4 at Menangle on Saturday night against Delightful Christian and Later On. And the other one are Rick and Naomi Hines, a 2-year-old filly in Victoria called Lovelist. Won 4 in a row and was 3rd in the semi-final of the Vic Red Super Series for the 2-year-old fillies last Friday night. And Rick and Naomi bought the mother of Lovelist, Late Line, about 2 years ago. So Tassie breeders will be keeping a close eye on those quality races.
And on the local scene, a great program in Hobart on Sunday night with the final of the Avicus and the Dandy Patch.
You talk about eyes on quality races. We've got the two Tasmanian finals for the Tasbred two-year-olds. Race four is the Avicus. They're both worth $30,000. Forzia has won three from four for the Rattray camp. She was a heat winner, going 2 minutes 0.9. And the first starter from Robert and Scott Woods bred Joan Grant from Fingal. She led and went 201.1, and she joined Barrier 1. Promises to be a great contest between the two, but you cannot leave out Grace Campbell, Safety Girl, and Days Like This. They all ran well enough in the prelude, sorry, the heats, to suggest that they are going to play a major part in this final. And the Dandy Patch, Jerry's Jet, how do they beat him? Two weeks ago, in the prelude, he sat in the death and Bossenhagen sat on his back and could not foot him. And the way Bossenhagen went in the sweepstakes finals, where he should have won that sweepstakes final, taken the Jerry's Jet, was still the run of the race by a mile. I don't know how they're going to beat Jerry's Jet, but racing's a funny game. I thought Faithful Sally was over the line, but last week in the bandbox, and a great drive by Duncan Dornoff, and just the right place at the right time, and she's a quality filly, Miley Rose, and maybe, you know, something might happen here on Sunday night, but at the moment it does look like Jerry's Jet. And of course Fiocchi is also well in that race, winning two and placing three from only seven.
And Devonport coming up on Monday.
Yeah, it doesn't stop on Sunday. We go to Devonport Monday night, eight races. And for all the latest on both those meetings, Hobart on Sunday night and Devonport on Monday night, Taz Racing's got it all at www.tazracing.com.au. Go to Punter's Corner, and Jamie Cockshut's summaries will be up there Thursday and Friday for those two high-quality meetings.
Good on you, Kev. Thanks for your update again today.
Yeah, pleasure again, Shane.
Taz Harness Racing form analyst Jamie Cockshut joins us now to share his thoughts on the upcoming meeting in Hobart and have a look back at the bandbox and the Globe Derby finals from Sunday night. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad, Shane, mate. How about yourself, Colin?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Now, what about those two big races last week? Firstly, the bandbox. You told us that Miley Rose was the big danger to Faithful Gabby, and that's the way it turned out.
Yeah, no, it was a good drive for young Duncan Dornoff on Miley Rose. You know, handing up to Gareth on Faithful Gabby. Gareth ran him along down the back. He's on the best horse, but Miley Rose just peeled off him and grabbed him in the last few strides, which is a good big effort from Bill, the trainer as well, Duncan's father. You know, second round back from a break to beat a very classy filly in Faithful Gabby is a great effort.
And it was a great finish in the Globe Derby. And it was Chopsticks Boris who came from a mile back. Vanderveld went for the run in the middle, and Chopsticks Boris decided to come down the outside, and basically that's what won at the race.
Exactly right, mate. Vanderveld was very stiff. If you pulled him to the outside, I reckon he would have just about won the race, mate. But, you know, Rowan done the right thing, pulled Chopsticks Boris outside. He, you know, 100 to go, he wasn't even in the picture, as you know, it's called, but he just loomed up and, yeah, won with ease over the last 50 metres, and they drew away and won easily.
Yeah, that stretched right across the track of that last 100, that's for sure.
Oh, there's only 5 or 6 metres between 8 or 9 runners, mate. It was a great finish, actually.
Well, the feature races continue this week. We'll have a look at the quaddie shortly, but the first of the features is outside the quadrilla. It's race number four in Hobart. It's the Avicus final, and how do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, it's a nice group of fillies coming through at the moment. Fawazi is, you know, she's the one that's got the form. You know, she's won three out of four, and she got beat by a smart filly the only time she tasted defeat. She's sure to get a good run through, but yeah, I wouldn't be taking short odds about it because Joan Grant was impressive in her heat. She led all the way and she's drawn the lead again. Safety Girl's drawn a lot better on Sunday night as well, so she's going to be hard to beat. And there's a couple that I like at good each way odds, Grace Campbell and Days Like This. Both hit the line very strongly in their heats and were very, you know, Grace Campbell's very stiff not to win. And I reckon they'll be around the $8, $10 mark on Sunday night. And, you know, I'd lean towards those two just at the odds. And, you know, Meleandra Magic, Joker's Wild, can't laugh your head off, you know. They're around the market. You know, third or fourth place will pull them up, mate, if they can sneak into their places. But you just go off wires, are you? You know, just, like I said, don't take the short odds. Joan Grant and Safety Girl is going to be big dangers, and Grace Campbell does well at the top. So I'm happy to go from 9 fires here to beat numbers 1, 2, 6 and 10, 3, 4 and 5 to run, can sneak into the minor first four spots, mate.
So the Dandy Patch final is race 5. Now, this is the first leg of the quaddie. Jerry's Jet is unbeaten for Paul Hill and Ricky Duggan. Ricky's primed for another tremendous night. He's driven 4 winners at 2 of the last 3 meetings. I'm just glancing back through them. He's got Franco Sheffield, who looks very hard to beat in the first. Jabba Jaws in the second. Angela DeMarco in the third. He might have a treble by the time he gets towards the quaddie legs. And he's on a pretty smart one here in Jerry's Jet, unbeaten. Can it stay that way?
Yeah, he's a very smart animal, Jerry said. I think, you know, the rep I've got on him. And I think, yeah, Ricky is in for a big night by the name of them horses he just mentioned, Shane. But Jerry said, you know, he won well last start, ran very good time, sat parked and, you know, just, you know, won as he liked. But Ason Hagen has drawn Barrier 1 this week. And as we know, he's been matching with Jerry said, just been falling a couple of metres short. And, you know, so, but the crucial thing is going to be this start. If Ason Hagen can kick up and hold the lead, you know, he'll make a race with Jerry said, but Jerry said's class will sign through, because I honestly think Boaz and Hagen's probably 6 months away from being a really, really nice horse. He's still learning, a bit immature. So I'm happy to go with Jerry's Jet just to beat Boaz and Hagen. And Pioke's, you know, drawn to get a nice run just behind the two favourite runners. If they get into a war, you know, Pioke'd have some hope of running them down. So I'm happy to go with 5 Jerry's Jet from numbers 1 and 2, Bison, Harkin and Pioco.
Race number 6 is the second leg. It's for the C2. It's for the mares and novice drivers. They get the concessions here. It's over the 2,090-metre journey. By Marjack's been flying out of the machine. Can it lead again?
I think he can lead again, Shane, to be honest. Going very well by Marjack. You know, you'll find the top. He just finds the last 100, you know, a bit tough to hang on. So I'm leaning towards Bonafide Hustler, who was very impressive last start, winning in very good time, coming from a long way back, running 159 over the 2,090-metre trip. He's drawn Auckland in 7, but if he can have any luck whatsoever, he'll take a lot of holding out at the finish, and he'll be around the $5 mark, so he's worth a very good gamble. While Marjack is the danger, we've Albo beat the pole markers. It's going to be interesting to see if Albo beat's got any gate speed from the inside, so, and if he happens to hold up, he's going to be improved by last Sunday night's run at Launceston, so he's going to be a big danger as well. Punt Road Disco is dropping back in class here. He went second to the majority on Monday night at Hobart, which is a huge drop back for this race. And if he can get into the race nicely, he's drawn to get a good run through, so it has to be some hope at each way odds. Blue Chip Harry, Better Bolt, and next best mate at each way odds can fill in more in the first 4 spots. But I'm happy to go 7 Bonafide Hustler from 1 and 4. Elbow beat by Marjack and Pump Road Disco number 9, mate.
Third leg is over the 2,579-metre journey. It's the discretionary. And we've got two horses here that have figured around the star Patch of Cutie. We've got Remember Joe, who ran second to it, just nailed on the post 2 starts back and then came out the next week and won at $8. And Al Mills Dream, who ran second and then came out and won in Launceston. It's coming off the 20-metre handicap. Can it give Remember Joe that much start?
I don't think he can, to be honest, Shane. You know, Remember Joe, he's low flying at the moment. It's a credit to his trainer, Juanita McKenzie, to be honest. You know, if you had told me 3 months ago he'd be up around the free-for-all grade, or, you know, I would have been very surprised. But as long as he pings away and finds the lead and runs up to his last 2 runs, mate, he's going to take a power running down, you know. And but our mouth's dreaming, saying that was very impressive on Sunday night, driven a treat. And, you know, got over the top of Big and Red Max, who's just going at the moment, Big and Red Max. He's, you know, been around the mark. But Remember Joe's got the form. But Devendra is the class runner. He's by far and away the class runner, you know. The Rattray's got a very high opinion of it. There's not much between Devendra and Patrick Curdy, according to them. So, but he's first up since the Raider Stakes. So he's going to be a bit of a query. So we'll just see how he goes. But I'm happy to go Remember Joe, just ahead of Devendra, and 6 hours meters dream, mate.
And the last leg is the C1. It's over the 2,090. Not a lot of form to be confident about here in the last.
Oh, you're not wrong, mate. It makes it very hard for quadrennial players to put in this race to last a good quality. But just going back on Gothic Rage's run 2 weeks ago, 2 starts back at Launceston on a Friday night, it was a very good effort. Ricky got flushed out 3 wide. He put the foot down, you know, surged to the lead at the 400, put a gap on him and just got run down the concluding stages, but was entitled to stop the last 100 amount of work he'd done. But he's going to be very hard to beat. Just paid to give his Devonport run last week, as he was pretty disappointing, to be honest. Don't Pull My Chain. He had a stable change. He's now trained by Zane Medicine. He battled away well on Monday night in a tougher race than this, and he's drawn the pole. Just not 100% sure of the gate speed, but if he had enough gate speed to hold up, he'll take a fair bit of running down on his last run. The other runners are Modern Tears. She does have a bit of gate speed, but just he's a little bit weak. But as we just said, this ain't an overly strong race, so she's going to be keen, especially if he can find the top. Brightstar will be fitter for his first up run on Monday night. He'd have to be a chance as well. But I'm happy to go six Gothic Rage from one Don't Pull My Chain, from three and four Modern Tears and Brightstar, mate.
So how about constructing a quaddie for us?
Yeah, well, quaddies, we'll go 5-1 out the first leg, Jerry's Jet. Second leg's a lot more open. We'll go numbers 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Third leg will go 2 and 5. The last leg will just go 1, 3, 4 and 6. A $56 flexi gives 100% of the dividend, mate.
And any other races we should be looking at outside the quaddie?
Race 5, which is the Dandy Patch. You know, we just like I said earlier, I really like Jerry's Jet. And I think there's only two possible horses to run the trifecta. That's 1, Barton Hag, and 2, Fiaki. Just have a trifecta. 5 from 1 and 2 for second and third. Just have it as many times as you want. You can also have a first 4, more or less along the same lines. 5 to win, 1 and 2 for second and third. The field for 4. $8 first 4 gives you 100% of that dividend, mate. And we'll go along to race 7 as well. Remember, Jay, I really think he's going to be very hard to beat, as he should ping the lead. So I'm ready to go and try to pick it. Remember, Jay, to beat Defender, he's going to be the big danger with the field for third. That's only $4 for 100%. And just go the other way around, 2 to win, field for second, 5 for third. $4 investment gives you 100%. We'll also go first 4, just in case a couple of roughies get up in the placings. We'll go 2 to win for 5 for second, field for third and fourth for $12 gives you 100%. And 2 to win, field for second, 5 for third, field for 4, $12 gives you 100%, mate. A couple of good bets on the program. I really like Jabba Jaws in race 2. He's had 3 starts for 2 wins. His only defeat was behind the very talented Franco Sheffield, so I can see him continuing on his winning way. Sherry Shett's going to easily have a good bet, race 5, number 5. And I really like Remember Joe in race 7, number 2. It could be $3 or $3.50, because money will come from Revenger being the class runner. So them three are three pretty good bets, I think, is in a multi. And as I mentioned earlier, in race 4 of the Epicers, I really like 6 and 10. Grace Campbell and days like this, they'd be worth a good each way bet on the both of them. They'd be $8 to $10, and don't be surprised if one of them wins. I'm pretty keen on the pair of them, actually, in each way odds.
Okay, said with confidence, Jamie, and for all our punters out there who want to get the edge on Tassie Racing, just head to tasracing.com.au. All Jamie's thoughts on all the races in Hobart on Sunday night and the big card at Devonport on Monday night are there. Thanks for your time again today, James.
Thanks very much, mate.
Tas Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone, and later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tasracing.com.au.
Set now, racing.
Now on Tas Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Buckle up, Wes began brilliantly. Late Angel Lee began fast, but he's just showing no speed and has dropped back to last. Buckle up, Wes, the Tasmanian, leads into the back straight by a length and a half. Love kills his second, and Miner's Moss goes to a nice third. They were followed then by Made for Ron and Featherback, Dramatic Miss from Spud Regis, TJ's Grand, and Late Angel Lee dropped out to the tail. Coming off the back, Buckle up, Wes, a length clear. Love kills running a very cheeky race, and down the outside is Made for Ron. Buckle up, Wes, in front of Love kills. Buckle up, Wes, he's too strong. He wins three quarters. Love kills a giant run. Made for Ron third, Miner's Moss fourth, then Late Angel Lee, followed by Dramatic Miss, TJ's Grand and Spud Regis. One of the last time in about 30 and 10.
The champion, the Australian Cup winner, Buckle Up Wes, taking out heat number one of the $75,000 Queensland Winter Cup at Albion Park last Thursday. And his trainer, the legendary Ted Medhurst, joins us online today. How are you, Ted?
Yeah, not bad, Shane.
Now, you must have been pretty excited about that winning performance of Buckle Up Wes to again get into another group final.
Nah, he's done a fantastic job for, you know, the owners and myself. And I said after he won the Australian Cup, whatever he did after that, to be a bonus. So to make a couple of more Group 1 finals is just fantastic effort by the dog.
Well, $75,000 on the line on Thursday. He comes up against a couple of smart ones. He's drawn box number 4. Who do you think the main dangers are?
Oh, I think Darren's dog off the red. you know, he's going to be hard to beat. He seems to be well drawn, and you know, he's trained by Darren, so he'll be spot on for the race. And of course, the local dog, Flash Reality, he won his heat very impressively out of box 8. He's trained by a champion trainer, so you know, logically they're the two to beat.
So Flash Reality, the Derby winner, trained by Tony Brett, and Awesome Project, the Darren McDonald runner, and they're drawn boxes 1 and 8, exactly where they want to be. So he faces a stiff task, but he's already collected $344,000 in prize money, which obviously hasn't gone astray.
God bless his soul.
Now and forever. Now, how did you come to get Buckle Up Wes? What was the story behind that?
Just a long-time friend and associate, Gary Johnson. He rang me up one day and just said he had a really quick pup and he wanted me to train him. And he just came down with the boys on the Thursday night and he dropped him off, you know, an unassuming, leggy, you know, sort of green-looking dog. And it went from there.
You know. Obviously, Gary picked him out pretty early. How long did it take you to realise that he could be something special?
I gave him his first trial and, you know, he's a little bit awkward, fresh at the track, and I come back home and reassess things a bit, and about 3 or 4 weeks later I went back and trialled him, and I ran him out the 340 boxes at Hobart on a Tuesday night and nearly broke the record, and I went, gee whiz, what's this?
So he moved inside after that, did he?
Yeah, we looked at him a bit more closely, but no, from that, I must say, I commented the other day to a friend that he's the only dog I've ever had that every time I've trialled the dog, he's went quick. He's just gone quick. You know, when you send him into state, he trials quick. When I trial him here at Hobart or at Launceston, you know, his times are just always outstanding. Every trial, which is quite amazing, but that's him.
So he's a real professional then?
He is. He's consistently brilliant.
Now, what about the Australian Cup experience, Ted? They don't come along that often, although you're associated with Debbie Cannon. And of course, Debbie tasted the same success just a couple of years back with St. Pierre.
Yeah, look, for it to strike twice in such a short period was just incredible. When Deb won it with old Wolfie, it was fantastic, and it was a surprise. And but we knew he had it in him, and you know, he's a great little dog in his own right. But when this dog come along to win it again, you know, when you think about the odds of everybody trying to win it, every dog whelped and bred in that period of time that ends up, you know, trying to win a Group 1, pretty open Australian Cup, you know, to actually win it, it's quite incredible. The odds would be astronomical, and to win it was, you know, it was fantastic, and to be there was a massive bonus.
Well, when he won the Tasmanian Derby, that would have been a great thrill to win on home soil, so to speak, but did you ever really dream that he could complete that that magnificent race and take out the Australian Cup?
Look, I said to Jono early doors that it'd be a shame for this dog with the ability he's got not to win a big race. And after he trialled at the Meadows, before the Launceston Cup, I could only fit him a trial in at the Meadows, and he trialled sensational. And I said to him then, like, if the box draw gods are kind to us and he can hit the lid, you know, at the right night, he'd be hard to beat in any race there.
Well, of course, he went from there to the Easter Egg and made it through to the final of that rich race as well, but didn't quite pan out for him in the final.
No, he got pressure from the outside, which I don't think he loves, and, you know, he just drifted up the bank, and it was all very sad. But, you know, as I said at the time, if that's the worst thing that's going to happen to me in my life, you know, I've lived a good life, haven't I?
you take that every day, wouldn't you? So you've been in the game for a long time now. Ted, how did you get started?
Oh, just through Mum and Dad. You know, Dad had paces to start with when I was a real little fella, and then he, you know, his job required his 24/7 commitment to a country post office and a local phone exchange back in those days. And so he gave away the paces and you know, he concentrated on that, and then after a while that wore him down, so they used to go to the TCA of a Saturday night to the dogs. And he ended up with a dog off a good family friend, Richard Stanford, you know, which Dad knew, Richard's father, Jack, through the pacing, of course. He used to drive some of his horses, and got a dog off Richard, and, you know, and it just started from there, basically, you know, and, you know, one turned into 10, you know.
Which turned into how many after that?
Yeah.
Hundreds?
He, you know, he had good success, Dad, pretty early. He ran Abar 1000 with Sid and Sue behind Beau Palomino. I think that was around 69, 70, something like that. And he consistently, you know, did well with them. And then I got involved probably in my late, you know, I always had a licence. And I was sort of in and out of them until my mid-20s. And then I got serious and, you know, started to get heavily involved in them. And, you know, through illness, you know, it sort of, Dad couldn't do as much, and so I took over a bit more, and it's went from there.
They've had some great owners over the years that have shown great support for the kennel.
Yeah, like, you know, owners, more importantly, good friends. You know, like Daryl Carey, he had all the Blazanka dogs. He was, he is a wonderful fella, and he supported myself unbelievably, and we had some fantastic success together. We won most of the big races here in Tassie, and he had some great dogs, and his champion bloke, and just Barry Haywood and Tony Keep, and, you know, Colin Dunlop. We've all had good success, you know, together at different times.
So what about some of the best dogs that you have prepared?
Oh, just recently, you know, you've got Wes, Belle Haven. I think she's the best dog I've ever trained. Just through her consistency, through, you know, longevity with, she travelled, I looked at her record and she travelled, you know, interstate for 18 months consistently in group races and just never put in a bad run, and was very unlucky in a couple of group one races. She's got beat her nose and a couple of the big ones in her head. And, she won in every state we took her. You know, I can remember a scenario this time last year, actually, that she went to Sandown 2 weeks in a row from Tassie, and then the next week she travelled to Albion Park and trialled. She went back the next week and won. Went back the next week and ran second in a Group 1 final, and went back the next week and won the Super Stayers. So to be on the road for that 6 weeks in a row and perform at the utmost level was just a... shows you the quality of that little dog, and that's why I hold her, you know, dear to my heart. She's just a great little dog, and but apart from her, you know, in the just a few years back, Salt and Swing was a great bitch for us. She won over 30 races at Hobart, and High Choice, the Counts, they were good dogs for us. Counts won in most states in Australia. Old Damascus Road, he won 30 odd races. And but back in the early days, we had a couple of really good dogs. Blazanka's Fire, he won most of the big races here in Tassie. And High Wonder, we won a couple of big races here with him. And we went to Victoria and he made a Silver Chief. And then we sold him and he won a an Adelaide Cup. So he's a very good dog.
Well, the list goes on and on, Ted, but I'm sure Buckle Up Wes and Belle Haven sitting right up there at the top of the tree, and hopefully Buckle Up Wes can add yet another major victory for you this week.
Nah, it'll be wonderful, that's for sure. And, you know, he's just a, you know, great little dog to us, and the owners are, you know, we're all very thrilled just to be there. And come what may, Shane, we'll be, you know, battling on again next time.
Welcome to the Greyhound segment now of Taz Racing Talk, and joining us as he does every week is Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
I'm good, thanks, Shane.
Now, we start the segment this week on a very sad note, Greg, with the passing of Margaret Croswell. Margaret fought the good fight but lost her battle this week. Our thoughts with the family at this very sad time. As we all know, she was the driving force behind husband David, and together they were associated with a number of amazing greyhounds.
Look, over the last, I think, 48 years, they've had greyhounds, and... became one of the most formidable forces ever in Tasmanian greyhounds. And, you know, David and Margaret were equally involved in that association with all of those great dogs. Her name was down as the trainer of quite a few of them. They've got three dogs in the Hall of Fame. True Vintage was in the inaugural inductions, and Highland Summer and Busy Vintage. The credits are so long, it's just not enough time here to go through, but they have the only dog that's won a national sprint championship that was a Tasmanian dog, which was Busy Vintage. They won a Silver Chief with Jamila Prince, and they've won every major race, not one missed, and most of them several times, including three Launceston Cups and four Gold Cups. Very sadly missed, and a really lovely lady.
On a more positive note, Buckle Up Wears going around in another group final after a magical win in a teat.
Yeah, it's almost got to the stage where if he doesn't make a group final, we think he's underachieving, don't we? He was just brilliant winning at Albion Park last Thursday night. And despite the fact a couple of them ran quicker, it was his first race start there. And the way he's coming out of the box at the moment, don't write him off.
And Hell Yeah Bolt, another greyhound who's right up there with Buckle Up Wears, scored a tremendous win during the week.
And a fabulous win at the Meadows on Saturday night. He came from behind on the first turn, had to negotiate traffic, and to win running away in the manner that he did, he's an absolute star too for Anthony Bullock.
Hobart on Thursday night, Leon Brazendale back in the winner's list with a winning double on what was a pretty tough night for punters.
Yeah, the early part of the night was very severe, wasn't it? With three, you know, winners paying massive dividends on the TAB. But Leon hasn't had a lot of runners lately, but he had back-to-back double with Peter Rabbit in race three, which, you know, belied its recent form and won really well. And then Maximum Jack, which won, albeit a very modest maiden, but did it in fine style.
Night Tremors was one of the few greyhounds to do the right thing by punters from the Eileen Thomas Kennel.
Yes, the last 2 weeks at Hobart, it's had box two and done the right thing both times. A very young dog, and three wins from four starts, and looks a dog of great promise.
Midnight Bird went into the meeting with only one win from 12 starts, has promised to do much more, but victory finally came on Thursday.
Yes, as we know, he's much better than his form, but, you know, looks a powerful finishing dog, and box eight was just what he wanted. He looks down the track like middle distance might be his go.
And Lou James for Margaret Rosendale slipped into the field as the reserve runner and got the job done.
Yeah, and it's probably he's the same, I think, down the track. He's such a bad beginner, but such a powerful dog, you'd think the middle distance will suit him better. But having said that, 26.07 in a race that was almost as good as an invitation, it was a brilliant effort.
Steve Hutt's got the Nitro Greyhounds back in top form, and Red Nitro went back-to-back.
Yeah, he has. He's got some nice wins out of Red Nitro and King Nitro, and I think this one's the better of the pair, and he's a very good beginner, and he held the early lead, and he beat a pretty good field in comfortable fashion in 26.28.
And good to see Pam Taylor back in the winner's list with Emperor's Bridge in the last.
Yeah, very much so. You know, Pam only has two dogs racing. Emperor's Bridge was the only dog out of his litter, and he absolutely blitzed a grade five field, and last race of the night running 26.23, you'd think it's onwards and upwards for him.
Launceston on Monday night. Susan Gitter started the night off with a winner, just as she did in Hobart on Thursday when Superfunds won at Big Odds. Well, in the first race, it was a Aruba Miss in Launceston who camped on the speed and proved too strong at the finish.
Yeah, she's been promising to win one, hasn't she, this bitch, because she rattled home recently running a place at Launceston, and she was far too good for that juvenile field. And Susan really got motivated after that, because she then won the third race with a first starter called Oh Joy, which came out of the boxes like Nui's Lad. Just put a massive gap in them and won by... You don't often see a dog win by 11 and a quarter lengths in a 278, albeit half the field bit the dust behind it, but it wouldn't have made any difference. It was all over Red Rover. And then she's won the 600-metre race with Miss Somebody, which was a courageous win in a very good field. Nearly made it four for the night when Go Betty Go led every stride bar the last one. In running second to the very, very impressive run of Haliski.
Anthony Bullock nailed the trifecta in the other 278-metre race.
Yes, he did have quite a few runners in that, and Loving Lucy probably wasn't one of the punter's friends, but out of his five runners, he had first, second and third, and that's a great effort in anyone's book.
Now, you touched on Haliski. It's been crying out for a win, and it finally came for Mick Louth.
Oh, gee, it was a good run, wasn't it? Like, he shouldn't like the Launceston track, this dog, because he gets off the track, and he's not a very good beginner, and he did all of that wrong. Well, say wrong, that's how he races. He was seventh off the mat, ran wide, ran Go Betty Go down in the time of 30.22. He's a pretty serious dog.
Nui's Lad, seventh at its last three runs, which is unlike Nui's Lad. Well, he was back to his best. He exploded out of the boxes to win the best eight.
Look, he's a funny dog, isn't he? He's won just short of 20 races, like a couple more wins, and he's up there with 20 wins. When he gets the start right, which is about four out of every five, I don't think I've seen a dog in my lifetime begin as quickly as him. And when he doesn't get it right, he smacks the lids and comes out last. But look, he's one of the best beginners I've ever seen race, and just typical of the Butch Deverell team, they just keep winning.
Devonport on Tuesday, Kinloch's Fury finally brought its true form to Devonport, and it won for Eileen Thomas.
Yeah, very nice little bitch out of a pretty smart litter. She beat a good juvenile field. She's a mad railer, but she had box seven, but soon got over there into a chasing position behind pretty new dog that Butch Deverell's got called Terracotta Girl. She won't be long winning one either. And Kinloch's Fury, she'll win a lot more races.
Big Jack Jr. bounced in front for Anthony Stinnings, and they just couldn't run him down.
Yeah, Tony hasn't had many dogs racing lately. He's breaking in a new litter, and hopefully some of them will be smart. But look, he looked like he was gone turning for home when Limbo Made loomed up, but he just kept fighting back, and he was too good on the line and a very deserved win.
And Whitford Miss scored in similar fashion in the next for Ian Johnson.
Yes, Ian's got a very smart beginner in Whitford Miss, and she's another one. She got tackled left, right and centre, but she just managed to hold off a very, very smart run of High Sierra.
And Silly Lucy, after a luckless run last week, it was a tragedy beaten last week, no such problems this week for Russell Watts.
No, and boy, when she gets it right, doesn't she get it right? 25.59. Most Devonport Cups don't run that quickly, and she won by 9 lengths after an early battle with Shantytown Lad. He dropped off pretty meekly, and she hit the line powerfully.
And We Fire, just like Kinloch's Fury, another one to bring its form on the other tracks to Devonport, and that's all she needed to do to break her duck at Devonport at start six.
Exactly. 6 runs there to get a win, but I don't think it'll take another 6 to get another one. Look, she had a real battle on her hands with Crystal Innings going with her every step of the way. But right on the line, she just drew away and won by, you know, just on a length and a quarter.
You've been in great form for our Black Book followers. What about another winner this week?
Look, it's not a new dog on the scene, but it's been unlucky its last 2 runs. Lake Hylia for Eileen Thomas ran a very good second earlier in the week, and then it got shunted wide all the way at Devonport behind Big Jack Jr., and she's normally a very good beginner, and she'll be leading all the way in a race pretty soon.
Lake Hylia, the one to follow. Thanks for your time today, Greg.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk.
Time to have the pins poised because our magnificent tipster Rick Puccinelli joins us online. How are you, Rick?
Very well, Shane.
Confidence levels high. The Hobart meeting, gee, this first leg of the quaddy looks a tough one on paper.
Yeah, Shane, I think in this leg you might have to go wide because there's a bit of unexposed form here. And I've just gone with number 1, Cosmic Harry. He last started Devonport when he ran 3rd from box 1, was good behind Aroma Pichet. And I just think that's a good form line for a race like this. And he's run on Monday night at Launceston was A-OK too. Look, I put him on top. 1 on top. 4, Callaway Krusty, clearly is the best dog. He can be a little bit slow out. He's been placed 4 of his 5 runs on this Hobart track. If he has any luck in transit, he's the dog to beat. 8, Cut Him Down. Now, it's one of the likely leaders in the race, Shane, and drawn box 8 has a win here in 26.41, so that might be nearly good enough to pinch the prize. And as I said, he is one of the leaders, so I put him in for 3rd. And 3, Still. Didn't mind its last run in Hobart behind Midnight Bird. Actually missed the start, then used a lot of speed, got a check, and then battled on well to run 3rd. They're the 4 I'll be concentrating on, but I will be going wider. 1, 4, 8, and 3.
The semi-finals of the Breeders' Classic in Hobart, and Bruni Venture, isn't it flying at the moment?
Yeah, Shane, he's flying, and he went the quickest of the day last Saturday morning. He went 26.05. He ran very, very good splits. I can't see him getting beaten, and he'll be probably a 1 out for me in the quaddy. 2 on top, Bruni Venture. Thought Channel and Betty's been going quite good of late, and it's run 2nd behind Night Tremors. Its overall amended time was 26.37, then come out and won its heat in 26.74. Thought it was 2nd pick. Thought number 7, Breaker's Tip, got good early speed. There's a good rap for this dog for him. He needs to be up near the lead, and I can see him from the draw being up there, and I'll give him a chance. And number 3, Street Style. Now, this greyhound won its heat in 26.27. Now, it beat a dog called Buckle Up Fletch, and I'm going to make Buckle Up Fletch the best bet on the program later when we get to the best bet segment, chain. So that's very good form. He does use a little bit of the track, but, like, 26.27 brings him right in contentions in this race. 2, 4, 7, and 3.
In the 3rd leg, Eyes on Destruction looked a little unlucky a couple of weeks ago when it was diving for the fence.
Yeah, Shane, I think it's got plenty of natural improvement in it. And look, Robert Goulet is a very, very good hand with the dog, and it's got good early speed. I think it'll be up near the lead, and I'll put it on top. 4 on top. Thought Mr. Noble was a very good run in his seat, recording 26.47. I know it was only a 3-dog field. He jumped in front, won. His sections were good. And his couple of runs that he's had, you know, before he won, he were A-OK. I've put him in for 2nd. Number 2, Dark Vito. Now, he was a very, very impressive winner at Launceston recently in 30-13. He looks like he's a real grinder and keeps coming. He hasn't got any real high speed. I put him in for third. And the greyhound that I'll be playing in all my novelties in this race is number 8, Shotgun Punter. Didn't mind it run second behind Rip and Tear in a seat. Fifth from box 5 was A-OK, and I just think that it desperately needs a wide draw, which it gets tonight. 4, 3, 2, and 8.
And in the last leg, the invitation race, well, Justina's on to Nui's Lad on Monday night, and it bolted in at around 6 or 7 to 1. Can it go back to back?
Look, Shane, I'm clearly putting him in the mix. He's a very, very, you know, hit and miss greyhound, but look, I've got him up near the lead in my speed maps. I'm taken with number 1, Chandlin Vapor's last win. He was a little bit tardy out, showed very, very good speed. Now, the key to him is he's had 4 runs from box 1 for 3 wins and a second. He's, as I said, he's come up with box 1. I'll put him on top. 1 on top, 5 Nui's Lad for the reasons you mentioned. He jumped in front of Launceston on Monday night and did us all a favour. They did bet $15 on fixed odds, which still shocked me, and I missed getting it. I was punching in the computer to try and get on, and someone snabbled before me. Number 6, Phelan's got a chance, and I thought number 4, Barnes Babe, had also a chance. 1, 5, 6, and 4.
That makes the quadrilla for Hobart in the first leg, 1, 4, 8, 3. Second leg, 2, 4, 7, 3. Third leg, 4, 3, 2, 8. Last leg, 1, 5, 6, 4. And I think you've already let the cat out of the bag as to what's your best.
Yeah, race 1, number 5, Buckle Up Fletch. Now, he was in a 2-dog heat. He got beat, and he got beat fair and square. This week he goes into an 8-dog field. He'll jump in front. He'll run 26.30. Think that'll win the race. He'll be about he might be $1.50, $1.60, and I think that's pretty fair odds. Race 1, number 4, Buckle Up Fletch.
Launceston on Monday night. Well, Silly Lucy has won 3 out of 4 on the track and looked pretty smart again at Devonport during the week.
Yeah, and didn't it look strong on the line, Shane? And look, it's having its first run over the 600, but Russell Watts is just having an enormous year with the training winners, and his strike rate would be absolutely unbelievable. Clearly on top, Silly Lucy. Think number 1, Rock Royalty's got a chance. Comes up with the red box, and the red box over the 600's a very, very good box to be drawing. I put it in for second. I put in number 6, Cosmic Fire. Look, I'm still amazed on how poorly it went last week. It's a lot better dog than that, and it could jump up near the lead. So I've put Cosmic Fire in for third. And I put in number 7, Pedro's Vineyard. Look, it's been placed 6 from 6 over this distance. Doesn't seem to win, so you've got to play it in all your novelties. 4, 1, 6, and 7.
In the second leg, well, Pioneer Mogul is absolutely flying of late and a solid run at Devonport during the week.
Yeah, Shane, I didn't mind its run at Devonport on Tuesday. Like, it chased a little bit of Tony Dawson's flash innings. And, look, I wouldn't be disillusioned with the run. I'm put it on top. I think it might spear to the lead, and just keeps coming back in the back of my mind when it went 29.76 and went 17.61 to the back. If it can produce those splits, it'll near be winning, and I put it on top. 3 real caution, won't be chasing home Helier Bolt or Nui's Lad this week. I put it in for second. 4, I put in Orange Boy. Look, it's not his best track, but this isn't a very, very strong race. I've given him some chance, and I also put in number 5, Dirty Rich. Now, he is capable of leading, and when he's on the bunny, he's a very, very good dog. And off my speed maps, there's only 3 leaders in 3, 5, and 8. So I put him in as a place. 8, 3, 4, and 5.
Now, a couple of weeks back, you mentioned that Senor Slammer, you didn't think like dogs racing around him. Well, he's out in box number 8 this week.
Yeah, I think he'll win. And I thought he'd win in Launceston last week when he had box 2. But he found the lead. I think that he'll zoom down the outside and might cross him. And if he does cross him, he'll be very, very hard to beat. 2, Nick Nack Norris. Now, he'll be giving him a bit of a start. He had no luck over the 600. He found the line very good. His 2 runs prior over the 500 were very, very good behind Her Highness and Blinking Becky. I put in number 5, Go Betty Go, for third. She might jump in front and then she might get ahead. And she has won over the 600, so she's got some chance. And I've got to put Varco in for fourth. But if Soon's believing, he can't win. He lobbed second. And he ran third. I thought his run was very, very ordinary. But he is the Launceston Cup winner. Debbie Cannon would have got him thoroughly checked this week. They'll do something with him different this week for sure. I've got to put him in the mix, but I can't see him winning. 8, 2, 5 and 4.
And in the last leg, we've got 240 Volt going for a winning hat-trick.
Yeah, Shane, he had a little bit of a setback. He was in and scratched. I don't know the reason why, that, you know, why he's hurt himself or done something to him, but I do know one thing. Gary Johnson wouldn't put him in if he weren't right. I've just gone with number 8, Underground. I just think that he's another one that might zoom down the outside and he might cross him by the first bend. 6, 240 Volts, clearly got to be second pit, and I think it's a good Quinella. 3, I put in High Caution. 3rd last week behind Senior Slammer. He battled on AOK. He hasn't got box 1 this week. He's got box 3. I've got to include him in the chances. And I put in number 2, Magic Blue. Even though its last few runs have just been a little bit ordinary, I just go back to a couple of runs behind Steel and dogs in, like that and co, and it's been AOK. 8, 6, 3, and 2.
That makes the quaddie for Launceston in the first leg 4, 1, 6, 7. Second leg 8, 3, 4, 5. Third leg 8, 2, 5, 4. Last leg 8, 6, 3, and 2. So go the eights there in Launceston on Monday night. What's your best?
I thought race 4, number 2, Good Odds Demon. He just might spear to the lead. He's a winner over the 5.15. I know he got run over at Devonport. They did record 33.14 when he got beat. To circle this week, I think it'll just he'll jump in front and be very hard to beat. Race 4, number 2, Good Odds Demon.
So buckle up, Fletch, into Good Odds Demon. The winning bet's coming up for this week. Thanks for your time again today, Rick.
Thanks, Shane.
Time for our quiz now on Taz Racing Talk, and all you need to do is head to the tazracing.com.au website, click on the Taz Racing Talk icon, follow the links through and answer this question. And the great prizes, compliments of our friends at Rest Point Casino in Hobart and also the Country Club in Launceston, our accommodation partners there. And you can win airfares to Tasmania, accommodation, car hire, meals at the tracks around the state for greyhound racing harness and galloping action. So the question today is, name the greyhound that will be lining up in the $75,000 Queensland Winter Cup at Albion Park, trained by Ted Medhurst. It's pretty simple. Just name the greyhound, the Australian Cup winner going around this week in the Queensland Winter Cup final. Thanks for joining us again today on the show. And remember to get the edge on Tassie Racing. Tune in to Tassie Racing Talk and head to tazracing.com.au.
Taz Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.